When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
You can listen to KJM on your smart speakers. They play ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance.
Get that
out. And you can join the conversation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Which quarterback will have most at stake this season? That's the question. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Guys.
I have a slice as a backhand. Sometimes I get the top spin on the
He grew up as a big tennis guy.
You ever played tennis, Key? No. Key wanted to look right in tennis court. No.
How big was tennis in your life?
You don't know what I look right in.
I can just tell by the way you walk.
Football?
See, I'm not even going to go at you, Jay.
Go ahead. Why? Go ahead.
No, I'm gonna leave you alone.
No. I don't want you to leave me alone.
I'm gonna leave you because you tennis is your thing, man.
I'm
gonna leave you alone.
Why you do the fans like this?
Golf, tennis, checkers,
chess,
all the chess, everything. Yeah, man. I'm gonna leave you alone, man.
What's that called? What's that category called for you? The way you talk about it.
You feel like putting in a category. I'm not putting you in a category. All I'm saying is I'm gonna leave you alone.
I know who you are.
I'm gonna leave you alone.
Golf. Tennis,
you do
checkers.
Golf, you do tennis, you do chess, checkers. I mean, I get it.
Now, to be fair, Jay, you did say he wouldn't look right on a tennis court, so you were the one who started the
categories people are fitting into. All that, Jay, you Kentucky Derby guy,
Kentucky
Formula
Derby.
One.
See,
look, you're all that.
It's all there. It is. There it is. Tell me more, kid. There it is. It's getting.
And now, by the way,
finer.
Now within the next 30 seconds,
cricket.
Max is the one of the owners at the Kentucky Derby.
No,
of the horses.
Man,
we'll be
no,
at a cricket
man,
event. You know, we'll be at a cricket event soon. You and I.
No. Hey, look, Jay.
Jay, hey.
I get it. I understand.
Key, they don't
you
have any
grew
nice.
Up, your dad loved tennis. You love tennis. You love golf, North Carolina. I got all that. I'm just
North
saying.
Carolina.
Of course, you love those things. You love the checkers, the chess.
You even love, to the you point, love tennis, I golf, would, North Carolina,
we,
all those
we
things.
We can't put checkers and chess in the same sentence. Right. Secondly.
Okay, well, then it's chess. Scratch the checkers.
Yeah.
It's
I
making
graduated
the move,
from
the crown,
a long time
the king,
ago.
And the queen. Yeah. And all. I get it.
Yeah,
all the moves.
Yeah.
I understand
When
that.
You were at the country club in North Carolina playing golf, and you would take a break and sip tea. You would play chess, is what he's saying.
Look, Jay always think when I'm giving him real compliments, I'm like trying to dig him and stuff like that. I would never do such a thing because you like polo.
Never.
It's not my fault. You know,
yachting. Have you ever been
stuff.
To a polo match?
Absolutely have.
Yeah, I've never been to one. See, this is
you know what a polo match means to me. It's when you're a kid, you try to match the polo sweatshirt with the polo sweatpants.
I went to two. In back-to-back years in Santa Barbara at the Santa Barbara Polo Club in Santa Barbara, California.
See, look, all that stuff we talk about, Santa Barbara, Montecito.
Yeah, it was that, a, yeah, okay, it was a okay. Montecito. Yeah, it was that polo stuff.
Yeah,
but I went with some friends Montecito. And, you know, they actually, I thought they told me you had just left, but whatever. All right, Max.
Jay, for
let's
real,
let's talk
though.
Tennis.
Have you played tennis, O'Keefe? Seriously.
Let's not get into that. Let's just
I
want to
see you on
about,
a tennis court.
Let's talk
headband
about
and everything.
The let's talk about the top queen tennis player of all time. Uh-huh. Take it away, Max.
For real, before we get into that.
Okay.
The reason I set it up like that, Jay, is because tennis is a big deal to you, right? You grew up playing, right?
I mean, my dad, I grew up going down, hitting balls off the wall, getting balls, you know, after he served. Watching him play for hours, it was my first sport. It's my first love. I mean,
your first love is sports tennis.
Ivan Lindell, you know,
McEnroe, Borg. Borg was a little before your time,
Borg,
but yeah.
But I mean, historian of the game.
I love Max Kellerman,
man.
It's
my dad's time, right? Yeah. Alibi Washington, a lot of that stuff.
Ah, you know, Arthur Ashe has a little before your time.
I grew up going to the U.S. Open.
You can't know who they are and know history,
that's what I'm
right?
Saying.
No, I'm not saying that.
See,
I'm saying
another like
Jay
slight
is,
dig.
Jay is talking about the experience of actually watching it as it's happening. That's why I said Borg. When you said Lendl and McEnroe, those are guys you're putting your eyes on.
Yeah, yes.
When
Sappers,
I say Borg,
whoever,
that's a little before you were like aware of what.
Yeah,
okay,
but my dad made me aware of all that stuff.
So
go ahead, Jay Agassi, you know, Sappers.
That came a little later. So So what did it mean to you to see Serena Williams, who is the underdog, who is playing the second-seeded player in the world, at her age,
about to turn 41 years old,
strongly hinting that this will be it, that she will retire after the Open, win?
Her game is still coming into form, and that's the scary part about this whole situation, Max and Key, is that I'm watching the first set, and she's able to get through the first set after winning it, 7-6. And frankly, I thought she was going to lose steam. This is where you come into the natural thinking process of, okay, she's turning 41. She's going against a 26-year-old who is number two in the world. And by the way, this is her sixth match of the year, not her sixth tournament, where she's had a ton of reps. And she's ramped up her practicing over the last 2 weeks. She's going to run out of steam. And by the way, Konovet played extremely well in the second set. I mean, it seemed like it was a blowout, right? 6-2 or something like that. So then seeing her turn it around and play well in that third set and find her rhythm again and her sea legs, look, her rhythm seems great. Her conditioning seems incredible. And last night I saw the best player in the world. And just, Key, it cemented to me when we think about Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, who was at the game last night, who was at the match last night.
Can she win the Open?
I think she has a legit shot to win the Open.
Absolutely she can win the Open.
But Key, having a child you know, 4 years ago, and then returning to this form, I think we're watching the greatest athlete ever to play in any sport.
It's been a slow comeback, so to speak, at times, but she's juggling a lot of different things. And I think what people have to realize is, Jay, you mentioned giving birth several years ago, but not just the giving birth part, taking care of the child, making sure that her baby is okay, being a mother, being a wife to her husband, all of those sort of things, on top of trying to fit in all the different business ventures that she's gotten herself involved in, paying attention to all those things, still dealing with the fashion, still having to deal with Nike, all of that. And on top of that, getting in the practice time to play tennis, to be able to get ready for the U.S. Open, that's a lot. I mean, I've had an opportunity to see that sort of stuff develop. And when you think about it, getting to where she is right now, knocking down the number two ranked player in tennis that everybody probably assumed automatically, okay, this is the last night we get a chance to see Serena Williams, so let me take the opportunity to do that now. And then erasing that person and moving on to round three is just one of the greatest things that I've ever seen in this particular sport.
You know, the other thing is, look, Tiger Woods, his dad famously wanted him to break Jack Nicklaus's records and all that. He didn't. He's still several away. And also, Nicklaus had more second-place finishes, third-place finishes, et cetera, et cetera, even though there are more good players now than there used to be, right? So you got to balance that in, too. No one debates that Serena isn't the greatest ever. Like, she's considered the GOAT. Now, Margaret Court has 24 Grand Slam wins. Serena's sitting on 23. This would be 24, right? Wouldn't this tie the all-time record?
I mean, look, supposedly there's a documentary in the work, too, like called Chasing 24. So you can only imagine the kind of pressure that every time she goes out to the court, expectations are for her to win.
But
and
it also,
going through those ups and downs.
It also leads to the question, though, wait a minute. If she does win and she's sitting on 24, would she walk away before 25?
Yeah, but one of the things that Serena talked about in is real is she has nothing to prove to anybody, not even herself. She's already proved to herself that she could be the greatest tennis player of all time and win multiple tournaments and things of that nature. And that's why she said last night she doesn't have anything to prove. There's nothing to prove. If she get to 24, okay. But I think that
I agree there's nothing to prove, Key, but if you got
to that 24 number for her is one of those deals that's in the past. Like, she's not chasing it as much as she was a year or two ago.
Max, I know we got to go to break, but and I'm not saying that she fell out of love, but it sure as hell, when you watch last night, it seems like she's starting to fall back in love with what the game brings to her.
And so maybe that means she's not done.
It's interesting.
Serena's odds were 50-1 to win this year's U.S. Open title, her longest pre-tournament betting odds in her U.S. Open career. She's now at 14-1. At Caesars Sportsbook. Cut it in more than a third. All right. Continue to weigh in. 888-SAY-ESPN. Which quarterback has the most at stake this season?
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. And if you have the ESPN app, you may already have the ESPN app on your phone. You're just not in the habit of using it. Man, click on the app. One app, one tap. We're right there. Boom, in your ears. Anywhere you are, you can listen to us live. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Which quarterback has the most at stake this season? That's what we are asking. And we are joined now by the great Diana Russini, ESPN NFL reporter. What's going on, Diana? Diana can't hear.
Okay, we're going to fix it and get back to her then, Jay.
All right.
Yeah, we'll get
that's
back to her.
That's a good idea. That look at Key calling the audible at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, we'll
there.
Just fix it and get back to Di. Let's go to a three shot. There we go.
Boom, look at that.
He's directing, he's hosting the whole thing. Look at
Key, are you in the control room? What's going on?
Yeah, I went to a three shot. I pushed the button and moved it around, so we got a three shot.
Dan in Texas wants to weigh in on the quarterback with the most at stake. Not the most to gain, the most to lose. The most at stake. Because a lot of the guys with the most to gain are the same guys with the most to lose. Most at stake. Who is it, Dan in Texas?
How are you doing, gentlemen? Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Dan?
So I think the current QB that has the most at stake, and I'll explain my reasons why, is Derek Carr. For the last 3 weeks, I've heard you guys talking about how he's the third best quarterback and everything in the division, which is agreeable. But he has literally top 10 in every single offensive position. Position players, Hunter Renfrow, top slot receiver, top wide receiver. He has a good head coach. He just signed a 3-year extension with a no trade clause. So I just think he has more to prove just to change the narrative of the whole thing. That's why the last 2 weeks you guys have been talking about the Raiders regressing from last year, ending up in second in their division. And it just doesn't click in my head how they're going to regress when their roster has gotten better and they've gotten all the tools on the defensive side and on the offensive side.
Dan, I only feel like there's somewhat of a built-in excuse for Derek if it doesn't go as planned. Just Josh McDaniels, even though it's his second stint, first year trying to figure that whole thing out.
We should get back to that topic. I think it's a good one. I also don't think he has the most at stake, but for another reason, and Key, I'm sure, has stuff to say about it. Diana's with us now. Apparently, the audio issues are fixed. Can you hear us, Diana?
Hi, guys. Good morning. Yeah, good to be with you. And I just listened to that caller, and I agree with some of the things he's saying. And, Jay, I hear you. There is definitely some built-in excuses there for Derek Carr. But if you were to put me just on the spot right now and say which quarterback has they've got to win this year, To me, it's actually Jalen Hurts. They've given him everything. Mm. Look at this defense now. The trades are making. I mean, Howie Roseman is still doing work, and we're just a few days out from the start of the season to try to put this team in position to win. And what do we always do when we talk about the Eagles? We go through their lines. We say how good they are. We talk about their weapons. We talk about Sirianni's offense. His scheme seems to fit this team really well. But question marks about the quarterback. So I think this has got to be the season he comes through and shows Philly that he's their guy.
Yeah, Diana's right about that. She is certainly right about Jalen Hurts and everything that they've done with Jalen Hurts and getting Carson Wentz out of there, kind of giving him the team, building the team around him, getting a receiver, drafting well on the defensive side of the ball. And on top of that, as you know, Max and Jay, as I've always said, when it comes to certain positions, these coaches and front office people listen to the outside noise. So if there's a narrative that Jalen Hurts isn't doing anything but holding them back, even though the coaches and the front office people may see it a little bit different, if that noise gets loud, then they'll start to look to replace him. But if he quiets that noise with his play, then they can move on and do something else with those draft picks.
Yeah, this is a big season for Jalen Hurts, big season for a lot of quarterbacks. What kind of season do you think the Patriots are going to have, Diana?
I think it's going to be just okay. I have some concerns. Guys, we've never seen an offseason like this for New England, at least as long as I've been alive, you know, with Bill Belichick being there and obviously Tom Brady all those years held that team to such high standards and there was so much accountability. And we know it's been a three-year transition here without Brady being there. But just too much uncertainty right now is coming out of camp from the way this offensive line play looks to Mac Jones just having a so-so training camp. You know, and then, guys, you look at their schedule for just how they start the season at Miami. New England has always struggled in Miami. It's hot. If Brady had a problem there, you think Mac Jones isn't going to have a problem there? Then they got the Steelers. Let's just give them the win there, all right? Let's just say, you know, Bill can come up with some good scheme there to mess with Mitchell Trubisky if he is officially named the starter there. Then they're at Green Bay. You know, this is just a really hard September for the Patriots, and they could dig themselves in a really deep hole if it doesn't get fixed. And I know Mac Jones recently said that they've ironed out some of these issues that we saw in those preseason games, but I don't know. That Vegas game was, what, 3 days ago? You know, like, really? You fixed it already? Wow, good. But, you know, I don't have a lot of confidence, as I'm sure you can hear in my voice.
Diana, the other day I was talking to somebody close to the organization for the Pats, and we were having an in-depth conversation around the fact that one of the reasons why Tom Brady left is due to personnel decisions and where the team was going. You're saying, hey, this is one of the worst off seasons. Are we getting to that point where the system that Bill Belichick has put in place, that maybe that's not the right system for the Pats as it relates to the personnel that he's deciding to draft? As it relates, like, do we need to start talking about him relinquishing some control around who he's drafting and some of those personnel decisions?
Gosh, you will never hear me go on television or the radio or write about Bill Belichick not having the answers. It's just too difficult for me because he just gets the benefit of the doubt. I understand the space you're going in, though. I understand there's questions about Bill Belichick, the GM, right? I think we've criticized him before about it, but here's, you know, Josh McDaniels, his former offensive coordinator, obviously now the head coach of the Raiders, recently shared some insight into Bill and said sometimes he sees things that we don't all see, and Bill's usually right in the end there. And any coach I ever have chatted with who's been part of that New England way has always shared that coaching side, the brilliance behind Bill Belichick. So do I think the Bill Belichick way has run its course in New England? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Do I think that there's been some questionable decisions from a personnel decision? Yeah. And they're going to feel some pressure because, guys, Robert Kraft said pretty much after the season last year, like, okay, I'm done with this window of not going to the playoffs. Because we're talking three seasons now.
Not winning in the playoffs, yeah. Not winning
Not winning in the playoffs, yeah. So he's done with that. And look, you know, Mr. Kraft has lived a pretty fantastic life being the owner of the New England Patriots, winning so much in the playoffs of the past. But there's a standard there. And right now, I just, you know, I've covered New England for so long. This has been the most unusual offseason, knowing that they haven't made any firm decisions. They're doing this cat and mouse game with the play calling. Is it Matt Patricia? Which is essentially, Max, you know it is. It's got to be Matt Patricia. You know, and there's no consistency there. So Jay, it's hard to sit here right now and say to you, yeah, we need to hammer Bill Belichick, the GM, and they need to change their ways. They haven't lost and done enough, let's just say, bad for me to go there yet.
Well, maybe not for you to go there yet, but I do understand you do need to go. We do need to let you go because you have things to do. So, as always, Diana Russini. No.
You look amazing, Diana. I just want to say
today.
That. There you go. Just wanted to.
Oh, Jay. Hi. Thanks.
Hi, guys. Sorry,
notice she didn't tell you that you
Jay,
looked amazing,
you
Jay.
I know.
She just said, she said, Jay, hi. She didn't say, hey, Jay, you too. You look amazing.
I'm confident. I'm good.
She got a whole thing on. You got a green sweatshirt. You know, come on. All right. Thanks, Diana. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
as always.
Ty.
Thank you, guys. Love you.
So, you too. So, the thing about Belichick, the GM, is I'm just going to say it. And you guys can say, oh, you're saying this and that. I'm just saying what I'm saying. I'm not saying anything more than this. When you put a competent team together, where everywhere you look, as Key pointed out yesterday, very few Hall of Famers, but competent players wherever you look who can do the thing you need them to do, and you have Tom Brady, you win a lot of Super Bowls. When you have competency wherever you look, and you don't have Tom Brady, you're a good team. You're good. You're fine. You know, you might make the playoffs. You might not. You may not win in the playoffs. And maybe Bill Belichick, the GM, worked when Tom Brady was the quarterback to the tune of championships. Maybe Bill Belichick, the GM, works like a better-than-average team without Tom Brady.
Let me ask you something, Max. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What constitutes it working for a general manager?
Well, as I said, if the standard is winning championships, making playoff runs, winning games in the playoffs,
okay,
then if your team is competent everywhere, but as you point out, very few Hall of Famers, you need something special at quarterback to be more than just a, you know, 9-win team, maybe 10 wins, maybe you make the playoffs, you're a wild card, you lose, maybe every once in a while you win a playoff game. That's a competent GM.
So
yeah,
the New England Patriots have only been a once in a while win a playoff game organization
without Tom Brady. Tom Brady,
it doesn't matter with or without Tom Brady.
Wait a minute,
Tom
Matt
Brady's
Castle didn't go to the playoffs.
But that was the numbers. That has something to do with the numbers. They won 11 games.
Yeah.
That had something to do with the numbers. I don't know the mathematically how they got eliminated or whatever. They did.
But let's say they would have. But let's
games.
Say they would have gone to the playoffs, and they would. The point is that wasn't a team
no,
that was going to make a playoff
the point,
run.
Though that's not your point. Your point was that Bill Belichick essentially sucks at his general manager job because he hasn't been to
say?
The playoffs and won the playoffs since Tom Brady.
Hold on. Don't put. I just said that's a competent GM. That's fine. That's above average. Like, hey, if you're competent everywhere, but if the standard is making runs in the playoffs and you look at a team that's simply competent everywhere, no Hall of Famers, no guys who really pop,
but then you need a special
quarterback.
You see,
but
I think that's a fair point, but I don't think that takes away from the greatness of Bill Belichick.
But here's what I'm going to say.
It makes the goodness. It points out the
goodness. One of the things, your argument is flawed because Tom Brady's first three Super Bowls, there was no Hall of Famers on that team.
Except for Tom Brady.
But Tom Brady was not a Hall of Famer.
But see what you're doing? Now what you're doing is you're saying that really wasn't Tom Brady winning those Super Bowls. That's the way I felt at
no,
the time,
no,
too.
No, Max. It was,
no, that's
the
not
system
what I'm saying.
Different.
I didn't say
it wasn't
that.
Tom Brady of
what
old.
I'm saying
like
is,
the GOAT now.
Yeah, yeah, I
what
get
I'm
it.
Saying is there was a plan in place.
There you
right.
go.
Okay?
It's
with
coaching.
Very talented players. And eventually Tom Brady grew into Tom Brady.
There you go.
But
much
even
like
when
they're
he
trying
was
to do with Mac Jones.
Get it. I get it.
To grow into that. reason I asked you this question about what is a general manager's job is because what you look at is you look at the high draft picks and you make the assessment on whether they're boom or bust, so to speak, as people like to call them. And if they're not boom, but more on the didn't pan out side, Belichick gets a negative credit for that of the high draft picks. But there's a number of guys, okay, that are not drafted high, that have gone on throughout the history of the New England Patriots and Belichick to contribute to them winning Super Bowls in the early stages as well as in the late stages.
I'm with you. What you two don't understand is you're with me because when you say now it's like the early stages with Mac Jones, that's what I'm saying. Let's see what happens. Now, going forward, can Belichick get back to not even exactly that level, but making playoff runs without Tom Brady? Because if he can't, that suggests that a lot of that was Tom Brady. A lot of it. That Belichick laid the foundation that was competent everywhere, but Brady was the guy who taken it over the top, even when he was young.
A lot of it was Michael Jordan for Phil Jackson. Yes, a lot of it was Kobe Bryant for Phil Jackson.
But no one ever doubted that. No one ever doubted that. 888 say ESPN.
LeBron
which quarterback
James
has the most at stake this season.
Pat
basketball,
Riley
football, and, different. Yeah. Basketball, right? Football, different.
Yeah, very different.
Basketball was always star driven.
Joe Montana for Bill Walsh, I know. Yeah.
And then it was Steve Young. Yeah.
Emmitt Smith for the Cowboys. I got it.
Is Derek Carr the quarterback with most at stake this season? As the caller said, join the conversation. Dr. Pepper call online. 888-SAY-ESPN. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. You can hear us live. Take us on the go, ESPN app, presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So a caller in the last segment, guys, while we were getting Diana's audio fixed, said that Derek Carr is the quarterback with the most at stake this season. Key J, let me tell you why I disagree with that. I think when you are at an extreme end, like you're about to lose your job, or like some huge legacies on the line, you have a lot at stake. But Derek Carr is like high middle pack, right? Or Key, you can consider him low high pack, right? Like if you have tiers of quarterbacks, you know, he's an upper middle class quarterback, or Key, you might think he's among the very best, but maybe toward the bottom of the list of the. So when you're in that area, what you have to gain is cementing yourself as elite. And what you have to lose is the perception, nah, he's just an okay quarterback, right? That's not, to me, the same kind of stakes as, like, Diana and you guys
Jalen
brought
Hurts.
Up. Jalen Hurts. Is he going to keep his job? Tua, is he going to keep his job? Or someone like Aaron Rodgers. Wait, can he get to another Super Bowl? You know, is his legacy going to be enhanced in that way? Or Justin Herbert. The dude has not been to the playoffs yet, right? I see the stakes as more extreme than a guy who's more toward the middle with less to gain and less to lose. That's why I wouldn't say he has the most at stake.
No, he doesn't have the most at stake, but I understand what the caller was talking about. When you start to look at, you know, they've got some nice pieces on the offensive side of the ball. I don't know what their defense is going to be yet because it was the preseason, but let's see what the defense turns out to be. And a lot of people still have a certain reservation about Carr at the quarterback spot for the Raiders just because he was never endorsed by the old coach in Gruden as the franchise savior. You know, when you start talking franchise savior, that's a different situation. When you talk like Patrick Mahomes, what they would say about him in Kansas City or what Cincinnati would say about Joe Burrow or what the Cowboys would say about Dak Prescott, when you kind of leave it open – and don't really put your arms and say, hey, he's my guy, he's not going anywhere. The Chargers are already talking about Justin Herbert's extension, and his extension is two seasons from now. Yeah. And they're already discussing what it's going to look like when it comes up because he's their guy. And I think people see that where they don't see that in Carr in the Raiders.
I know we're going to get to some calls here. But I will say very quickly, Pittsburgh Steelers, you keep hearing all this talk about Kenny Pickett, right? Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, that's a lot at stake right here. It feels like there's a lot on the line with his career. Could he be a starter? Could he be a backup in the league?
Rick in Ohio. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
Morning, fellas. What's going on?
What's up,
Rick? Hey, listen, I had to hang up the other day when you had the question about who's a GOAT in their sport. I was wondering, Max, did you ever come up with Muhammad Ali?
Yeah, but Muhammad Ali, even there, Ali is the greatest for the out-of-the-ring stuff, too. And if you take away all the weight divisions, right, he'd beat everybody, all that stuff. But Ali was never really considered the greatest pound-for-pound fighter ever. That would be Sugar Ray Robinson, you know? And so whatever else Serena Williams meant to the sport or to social, larger issues of social significance, she also is pretty much indisputably the greatest of, you know, female tennis player ever, right? Like the best on the field of play. And Ali, pound for pound, doesn't have that with Sugar Ray Robinson. Most people consider Ray Robinson the greatest pound for pound fighter ever. Now, Ali had beaten Ray Robinson. It's a little unfair because they stratify according to size in boxing, but nevertheless, that's how they do it. Who else?
Today's question, it's Baker Mayfield, man. He's already running his mouth. And he lost his job in Cleveland, so he's got to really show something where he's at now. He's going to be a backup for the rest of his career. Thanks for taking my call. You guys have a good one.
Yeah. What Baker do, man? Baker say he didn't say it. See, that's the thing. The caller say he run his mouth. Baker say he didn't say it.
He said, but you know what? When that article comes out, people don't listen to details. People don't listen to context. You know, like the second part where he talks about, well, she said it, and then I kind of reiterated in a laughing, positive way. Nobody reads that. People just heard the headlines yesterday, and people already have an opinion about Baker Mayfield.
This is the thing about one's reputation. This is why you got to guard your reputation. Because you have a reputation for running your mouth, then even when you look at the details, nah, he didn't really do it this time, you have a lot less, people cut you a lot less slack. Yeah. They make assumptions about you.
You see that, Jay? Running your mouth, see? Got to be careful.
Hate
man.
People who run their mouths. At least if you're going to talk about
guys
something.
Guys like Keyshawn, he's so overrated. Guy that is just like his career.
At least if you're going to talk about something, you should have some experience. Can't just get up there and talk about basketball without playing or football
just like
without
his
playing,
career,
right?
Jay.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah.
Guy's overrated. Yeah.
He's always angry.
He's always mad. Screaming at the coach.
Well, you know who's going to be mad if I don't do this read, guys.
Cutting Max Kellerman off.
More of your calls on quarterbacks with the most at stake. And is Aaron Donald wrong for downplaying the helmet swing?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Aaron Donald, guys, was seen swinging his helmet practice. And he said it was
swinging his helmet.
So, what's that?
Was seen swinging his helmet.
Yeah, swinging his helmet.
At someone.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
okay. Swinging a helmet. I don't think it was his.
Oh, okay. That's a good, that might be
two
a good
of them, though, I think, right?
Yeah, he was swinging his, there was a helmet in his hand and he was swinging it. That's that much I saw.
I thought, for some reason, I thought it was two, but maybe I'm.
Maybe. You know. He said it was just practice. It was
football.
Yeah,
it was two bingo helmets. Two that's bingo what it was.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. He said it Wednesday in an interview for an upcoming episode of the AP Pro Football Podcast. Quote, I don't really want to go back to nothing negative that happened and talk about something that happened in the practice. My main focus is Buffalo. Now, look, Key,
yes,
I'll defer to you. It seems to me like it's a big deal because I'm always told it's such a big deal if a guy swings a helmet. But he seems to be downplaying it, and it does not seem to be a big story. So what am I supposed to think about this?
You're thinking. I mean, you're thinking along the right path. It is a big deal. It is dangerous, especially if you connect with somebody without a helmet on. If you're connecting with somebody with a helmet on, I mean, they're protected. It's not. I mean, what you know, they may get a concussion. Who knows? But this happens all the time. You just never see it. The problem is, you saw this because it's training camp. Everyday practices during the season, there's something. There's a face mask. There's a sucker punch. Every team. I can almost guarantee you every single year there's 32 teams. Out of the 32 teams, there's at least 25 of them in practice throughout the season at least once. You're going to get a helmet swing and you might get a sucker punch. Every single team.
A sucker punch, especially when the guys are, you know, got helmets on and stuff, whatever. But listen,
because I don't like you anyway, Max.
The Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph thing, all of a sudden, swinging a helmet became the worst thing, you know, of all time, even though Mason Rudolph was.
But
you got to remember, Mason Rudolph didn't have a helmet on.
Well, that's because Myles Garrett took it off because Mason Rudolph went for Myles Garrett's helmet.
But see, think about it. You're swinging a helmet.
Yeah.
And you hit
someone in the skull. Yeah, I
get it. Yeah, you could crack his skull with that power and that force. The fact that Aaron Donald had two helmets and was swinging them at guys with helmets on, it's kind of like, okay, he's really swinging and trying to just connect, but not trying to just massively just.
He's not trying to maim anybody.
So appreciate Key you on the context of that one because everybody has their helmets on. It's a different scenario, and I get it's just practice, but he had a sponsored event a couple of days ago, and watching his PR team literally scramble to try to stop the media from asking questions about this. My thing is just hearing the words, well, it was just practice, it kind of sends the wrong message. You know what I mean? Even though it was just practice, you almost wish Aaron Donald would have did it. Like, yeah, I was wrong. But I think how you answer questions sometimes can lead to more stuff.
It was practice, man.
I know. But, you know.
It happens in practice. Like I said,
but
in practice, you don't see it, Jay, because you.
I get it.
Regular season practices aren't the media is not a the media typically is not allowed in the on the practice facility at the start of practice. They can film warm-ups, but then they got to get out of there when they start actually practicing on most teams. So you don't really ever see what goes on behind those doors. In training camp, it's wide open to the public.
Fair.
So the media comes, they film it. Whenever you see a little skirmish, people go, Oh my God.
Maybe Key is just because over the last couple of days, I've had a lot of people reference, and it's by nature, when they hear the word practice, like it goes back to that AI thing for me. For somebody, like the negative connotation around anybody saying, we talking about practice, like it naturally carries that kind of feeling where it gets like downplayed. Like
it doesn't mean nothing.
It don't matter.
Know what else
it's practice.
It's practice. Get it. Everyone's got their helmet on. I get it. Big difference when the helmet's on or off.
We're talking about practice.
But here's the other thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Here's the other thing. People love Aaron Donald. He's been so great for so long that if it's someone like Aaron Donald might be able to get away with saying, it's just practice, it's football, let's move along, and we'll spend a segment talking about it, not really going after him that much, and then on to the next thing. It depends on who's doing the swinging, some of it. Remember what I said earlier about reputation? You got to be careful with your reputation. People will assume that Baker's running his mouth, whether he is or he isn't. If you've built up goodwill,
Great point.
Things like this fly under the radar. If you haven't, they get blown out of proportion, probably.
Well, he's built up goodwill. There's no question about it. And when you are considered a nasty player, even though Aaron Donald is a good nasty player,
right.
Meaning like he ain't gonna take nothing off nobody.
He's not considered dirty.
you know, he's not a dirty player. But what Aaron Donald is he doesn't mess around. I've seen in games where Aaron Donald went after people and went after, you know, he's not messing around. So you know that. But you also, he's so well respected. It's just practice. It ain't.
What's Aaron Donald weigh?
I think he's about 285.
And nothing but muscle, this dude.
Yeah, 285. Pull it up. You got that big old laptop in front of you. 284. What you think you got
way off, Key. You're way off. 284.
What did I say, 285?
He weighed in right before breakfast.
You can look at him and tell he's at 280, 85-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
You can just look at him. I mean, he's chiseled for a defensive lineman. Don't look like that.
No, it's ridiculous. Maybe they should, though, if you see the results that this dude is getting. How long before the D-line, like the interior D-linemen, do look like that?
I do love when beefs happen, though, during practice, man. It's one of the key. It's just one of the best things, man. You get a chance to set the tone, especially if it's with another team. Hear me for a second, that people out there are like, oh, don't, you know, advocate for fighting. But sometimes you have these moments, like with your own team where it's like won the Super Bowl. People think they want to take shots at you. Like, no, we still here. We still have the same kind of drive. You ain't going to be able to get passes on us. I kind of like statements like that sometimes.
You always get these fights in joint practices.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't have a lot of joint practices when I played. We had them. And we, you know, it was always an issue. You know, it was always.
Were you throwing helmets, Key?
Excuse me?
Were you swinging helmets?
No. Okay. No. I didn't have those type of issues in practice. People didn't challenge me like that, though, Jay.
Were you like Mac Jones, the person sitting on the side?
I'm going to end it immediately.
Remember when Mac Jones earlier, when they got in a fight, was it with the Ravens, where Mac Jones was just chilling, just watching, like, I'm not going in that.
Well, of course, I wasn't going in that either because, you know, the hands.
Man, that's the tools. Right. That's how you make a living.
But if somebody tried to challenge me, it would be over in 2 seconds because I'm not even going there. I'm going to talk you out of it before you get yourself in trouble.
Not Aaron Donald, though. He was swinging the helmet. I'm just saying. All right, he wasn't talking at him about anything. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Which quarterback has the most at stake this season? Not the most to gain or the most to lose, but both. It's the most at stake. Someone said Derek Carr. Boy, I disagree with that. I think Jalen Hurts was – Diana Russini to offer that up. I think that was a good one.
I know who has the most at stake, but it ain't necessarily it is wins and losses, but it's a lot of other stuff.
Gee, why'd you jump in? I want to see Max stretch.
We're going to get to that. Are we sure the U.S. Open will be Serena Williams' last major tournament? Jay Will, coming up. Yeah, Keyshawn, Jay Will, Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.